Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, your host, Deborah Wolf. And today we've got something different. Kyle Knappenberger is coming to share with us some information about the number one odor eliminator. Yes, yes, I know. We all pretend our pets are all perfectly trained and there's never an accident. But when your pet gets sick or has a let's say a hairball, if we're talking the innocent, or maybe a dead mouse, if we're talking the guilty, or maybe the runs, or you just gave him dewormer and the day later he kind of has little itty bitty messes. Okay, for you, that's no big deal. For your guests, they smell that. They know it's there. You're used to it. You just don't realize that your drooling dog leaves a scent everywhere. So we need to find out how to get rid of it. And this is the number one way to do it. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Okay, well, I guess you're going to help us with our stinky messes. I know I'm used to my messes. I have to really try and smell things from an outsider's point of view. But how do you get rid of these stubborn stains? Like, maybe old cat spray or puppy training piddles on the carpet that you thought you cleaned out, but the puppy keeps going back there. What do you do?
Well, we actually can do quite a bit for all those incidents and several others as well. Our company developed a line of products based around a proprietary technology that can eliminate and break down a wide variety of chemicals, and ultimately, of course, odors are caused by chemicals. And we've been able to take these materials and put them into a wide variety of products that we call the Odor Cleanse line of products, and they are fantastic for pet owners. I myself am a pet owner and have got to use these obviously firsthand, as well as to be a part of the development of these products. But the way this technology works is it's pretty simple. We've got these materials that are very high surface area materials that like to attack a whole host of different chemistries and chemicals in order to actually break them down and what we call destructively absorb them. So whether it's wanting to use a product to enhance your cat litter bed and have it, you know, last longer, or if you're wanting to attack, you know, the place like my dog, who would, you know, sometimes get a little bit excited and may run to the same corner of the room, you have a product that can be utilized, applied to that area. It can go into there, seek out the chemicals, break them down, and neutralize that odor. And that's really kind of the gist of it. And then we just have different products for different types of uses. They include, as I mentioned, the litter additives, things for carpets, rugs, and then one of our most popular products is our laundry additive, which can be used to launder their bedding, their pet beds, or even, you know, like us, where our dog sleeps in our bed, and if there's an incident, well, you can wash those things and take care of those odors quickly and effectively.
You know, that's something that's always bothered me about the normal dog beds you see. It's some kind of cloth cover, and inside is this bag of little tiny beads of foam that can never, ever be washed. So what I do exactly is I get rid of that pretty quick, and I substitute old sleeping bags in there because it can all be washed. Because you know what? Pets have accidents. They do. And you need to be able to wash the stuff or your house is going to stink, and you're kind of giving your pet a false message. So what kind of dog is that keeps running back to that spot you're talking about?
A Shih Tzu.
Oh, no, it's Shih Tzu. Shih Tzus and Bichons. I was going to say, I wonder if this is Bichon Frise inspired, this whole line of cleansers. But no, it's Shih Tzu inspired. Shih Tzus are friendly, likable, maybe overly social, perhaps. They make great greeters. They just so get a kick out of the people they love showing up at the door. And
well,
so
they want to sit on your bedding, and they want to sleep with you, and they want to be on the couch next to you. And that's a great way to spread odor contamination.
Well, even if you don't have a piddler, but a Shih Tzu, a Bichon, sometimes they have a tiny little bladder and they're used to these big, you know, animated greetings from people that make them kind of lose it. Do that outside. You'll spare yourself. But every once in a while, there's an accident. Also, times these dogs, especially the Yorkies and the Shih Tzus, they have bits that kind of drag. Drags in the mouth, drags in the water dish, drags on the ground. Okay, that's going on your bed too. So Odor Cleanse, your product, Odor Cleanse with a K and a Z, Odor Cleanse, does it deal with the mud and the grass and everything else that comes in with the dog?
It can deal with any sort of odor issue, really. That is what makes the materials and the ingredients in this product unique over other products that are out there. The technology is non-discriminating. So whether it's odor caused by the dog using the restroom, sweating, or playing out in the grass, if it brings in essentially odor or chemicals, this product can be used against that. And, you know, there's a lot of different types of products and masking agents and those sorts of things out there. But this product really does want to seek out the chemicals and break them down. And as a result of that process, it is mitigating the odors.
Well, you know, when you say all this, it makes me think, oh, I wonder what's in it. And do I really want that in around my pets? And do I want it in my drains? But it's not toxic, is it?
No, that is correct. The materials, the active components and the non-active components in a few of the products are all very safe. The active materials are metal oxides, which metal oxides, you know, they're naturally occurring materials that they're actually a major component of dirt. These are minerals, so they're very safe. We just have a unique and patented process that makes them very effective at neutralizing chemicals. And we put these into different products, such as our source treatment product, which it's these metal oxide powders in water. It's that simple. There's no additives, no materials, no masking agents, chemicals, or fragrances. So you really have very simple materials being utilized in these different products. So no safety concerns.
We're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm talking with Kyle Knappenberger about his products at Odor Cleanse, O-D-O-R-K-L-E-N-Z. And I was just about to ask you a kind of a Canadian question. Around here, a lot of people play hockey and a lot of kids play hockey. And the hockey equipment absolutely stinks. It's disgusting. I don't know why it's so bad, but anybody who's ever had a person in their life who plays hockey knows that you could tell if the equipment's in the house or not. It's that bad. Does this work on that?
Yes, our Odor Cleanse products do. And I'm here in Kansas where we don't really play hockey much, but actually these products have been tested on hockey gear for my use as well. And we've had plenty of customers that have used this specifically for hockey pads, hockey gear, and hockey gloves. Our regular Odor Cleanse product line, such as the laundry additive we spoke about earlier, is great for laundering their athletic, you know, the shirts and the gear that they wear. But we also have a subset of products called our Odor Cleanse Sport products that do exactly what you just described. Materials that can be powder that can be applied into the gloves to mitigate those odors, rosin bag style materials that can be used on the hockey pants, the padded hockey pants, or just tossed in the gym bag to help mitigate odors from the gym bag because they often fester between games and between practices.
Oh, there's no smell quite like it. And I think other sports have their smells too. I'm sure they do. You know, and some of this gear just isn't washable. right? But and it's expensive. Some of it's
Exactly.
custom made. I mean, you can't just throw it out, and you can't. There's just no other way. So it ends up being, delegated to the back shed, and there's often battles in the house over where the hockey equipment's going to go. And it's definitely worth picking up this stuff. So can you tell me? It sounds like you have a variety of styles of products. So there's probably something to throw in the washing machine, the powder to go on the equipment. Can you describe a little bit about how the products are used, how people can use them?
Sure, absolutely. I'll just start with the beginning with some of our pet products. We have a powder granular additive that can be utilized. It's our odor cleanse pet litter additive. It's a again a powder material you scoop and add into your litter box to increase the lifetime and mitigate odors of it. We then have powder and liquid laundry additives that you use right along with your detergent. You just toss them in the wash basin as you're filling it up. Use your favorite detergent. It will enhance and mitigate those odors that your wash normally can't get rid of. So it just as simple as washing your clothing. We have a pet shampoo that's just a normal, weekly bath type of product. No different than using any other type of shampoo. It's a liquid white pigmented. It's not a pigment in terms of a dye or anything. That's just the way it looks. Milky substance that you use just like a shampoo. And one of our more popular products that we often get calls with panicked pet owners for is our odor cleanse skunk odor eliminator, where their dog's been playing outside and got
See,
into
now
a
I
tub
could have
of
guessed that one because traditional remedy of tomato sauce, tomatoes, it really doesn't work. It works for a short time, but anytime the dog sweats or gets wet, the skunk smell just returns and all his bedding and everything still smells. So it's really not effective. And then there's other, hydrogen peroxide, do this, do that, concoctions. I swear to you, I've tried them all. I've tried the products sold as, the skunk because I was a dog walker in the city for years before I opened up this big kennel, and we used to have skunk incidents for sure. And if one dog chases it, they all chase it. And oh no, you can't return the owner home to the white, beautiful carpet and immaculate penthouse apartment stinking like skunk. So there were times where I have pictures of these dogs with their tomato dew sitting in baths, all tied up, looking all sad. And with the little captions above their heads, no doubt thinking it was worth it. I hate the skunk, but yeah, it's terrible, terrible. So the skunk thing, I put rubber gloves on, I stick my dog in the bath, and I just shampoo him like normal with the special
Shampoo it
shampoo.
like
Really?
normal. Yeah, yep. And the best thing is our product actually works so well, I've done it without even putting the gloves on.
Okay, that's high praise because it gets under your nose. I mean, it's just this putrid. It's designed to repel. It's definitely one of nature's finest achievements as far as accomplishing the effect it's looking for. Unfortunately, once the dog's had and run in with the skunk, they almost never seem to avoid them after that. It's almost like it just makes them angry, and then they know the smell better and they focus better, they hunt it more. It's just some areas of Vancouver, there are lots of dumpsters downtown, and sometimes people even feed the skunks at some of the places where people jog. And so there's a lot of dog skunk contact, and skunks can carry rabies. I mean, they're not necessarily all that desirable. So if you can avoid them, avoid them. And don't chase your dog to chase squirrels and then be surprised when he chases a skunk because it's going to happen. But at least you know if it does happen, there's a solution. So, how do people get your products? Before we go through the rest of them, in case people are wanting to look you up online, it's odorcleanse.com, everybody. Odor
That's
Cleanse,
correct.
ODORKLENZ.com. And okay, so let's go through some more. We've got the powder for the workout stuff, and I'm sure it's not just hockey. It's all those fancy shoes you get for golf and baseball and soccer, and then you don't use them all year and they stink in the spring. Well, put this stuff on it before you put it away. Put it in a bag, right? So you got the
That's exactly
powder.
right.
Is there something, is there like a little packet or a sachet of some kind that gets put away with stuff?
Well, there are. In addition to the powder that kind of poofs out of a bottle into your shoes or into some of your gear, we do have a sachet rosin bag style product that you can tap it on different gear or pads. We actually have a lot of folks that are volleyball players that use it on their knee guards and elbow pads and those sorts of things that can't be washed as frequently. But that same rosin bag can be thrown into your gym bag, and it releases powder material so that it can go out and attack the materials on your different gear, and then you just brush it off your gear next time you're going to hit the court or the gym or the field for your next competition.
Wow, okay. So what else have we got here? We've got the powder, we've got the packets, got the washing powder. What else have you got? Because I see this whole page. There's like 10 things here. And it's not clear what they are. There's dog shampoo and the skunk shampoo and the litter box. Is the litter box the powder just reused for a different purpose?
It is a different version. A lot of our products use the same active components, but the active components are in different ratios to target the different types of chemicals or compounds that may be more frequent. All of our materials have broad efficacy, but different compounds may be better at different classes, so we really want to target them in for the different types of applications. So our liquid product, for example, for like your odor cleanse urine treatment, it's going to target, you know, compounds more like urea, uric acid, and ammonia, or the various organic compounds that you're going to see in urine, whereas a laundry product may have more things to attack chemicals that maybe occur from, you know, body odor types of chemistries.
Okay, so I want to tell people again, because we're coming up to the break, we're running out of time. So it's odorcleanse.com, odorcleanz.com. If you've got a dog or a cat that just keeps going back to the same spot, then you have an odor problem. If some stranger or close friend or relative tells you you have an odor problem, you have an odor problem. And some dogs smell more than others. You know, when you talk about the dog shampoo, there are certain breeds that just have a smell about them. Blue Heelers, to me, smell a little fishy. Rottweilers smell a little musky. You know, there's certain dogs that just... Labs, especially if they swim a lot, smell a little musky. So it's a good idea to try this. If you think you've got a stinky dog and there's nothing wrong with your dog, this may be the ticket. So thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great having you on the show, Kyle.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back in a minute with Dr. Carol. And I'll be seeing if she can guess what kind of pet Taylor Swift has and some other things. On Smart Animal Talk, I'll pause Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really
you.
Do.
I really do.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk with All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and it's me, Deborah Wolf. If you want more of me, you can go to DeborahWolfOnline.com. And right now, I've got with me Dr. Carol. My tail is wagging. I'm all excited. I haven't talked to you for ages, Dr. Carol.
Join you today. We're talking about getting fit with Fido.
Getting fit with Fido. Well, how do you know that's what we're talking about today?
Well, it was just a thought.
Okay, let's talk about that. I've got a whole list of stuff, too. Okay, what about getting fit with Fido, Dr. Carol? This is Dr. Carol Osborne joining us today once again. She's been on many times. She's one of my favorite ever veterinarian guests on the show. So if you've got a question for her, go for it. 1-888-627-6008. And as always, if you have a dog or cat training question or a why do they do that kind of question, how can I stop it kind of question, bad habit question, you can go for that with me. And Dr. Carol, oh, itchy, scratchy, misdiagnosed, can't be diagnosed, ongoing, lingering problem. Should I go to the vet or not go to the vet? All that kind of stuff. 1-888-627-6008. Dr. Carol, we have the whole rest of the show to sit back and chat. So how might I get fit with Fido?
Well, that's a great question, Deb. And one of the hottest tricks.
I thought of that myself, Dr. Carol. I thought of that myself.
Well, there you go. One of the hottest trends out there today, Deb, is getting fit right along with your pet. And they've got classes all around the country where people of all ages, shapes, sizes, and fitness levels actually take classes to get fit with their dogs. The one gal has a class with a down and dirty obstacle course. I mean, these classes start as simple as walking and interval walking to doing agility type work right along with the dog, to jumping little fences and climbing through hoops and crawling through tunnels. And what we're finding is that it offers benefits health-wise for the pet as well as the person. In fact, exercising your dog for just 1 hour can increase your dog's potential healthy lifespan by up to 2 years.
Wow.
And for you and I, walking your dog for just an hour a week and making it a five-day week, so walking your dog for just 5 days a week, 1 hour a day, can increase your potential healthy lifespan by 4 years. So there's a new incentive, and those are facts just released by the American Heart Association, which I think are very encouraging incentives for people to actually get up off that sofa and start doing a little bit of walking or jogging or even joining a local fitness class right along with your pet. And the thing about your pets is pets are always ready to enjoy a fitness class. They don't stand you up, they're never late, and they're always ready to roll. And when you're aching because your muscles are just killing you, and you look at that funny little face on your pet, all your pain just seems to go right out the window.
They don't care if it's raining. I mean, I'm a runner, and I used to always have this problem when I lived downtown Vancouver and around the university there. I always wanted to run. The trails were beautiful. The beaches were beautiful. There was just so many great places to go. But women don't run alone at night. Women don't run alone at dusk or dawn. Women don't really run alone, period. And, you know, people have gone missing there. So, like, you got to get a friend who feels like running the same time you do, who also doesn't have classes or work. And then if you go to meet them and they're feeling lazy, well, you both end up at Starbucks. Like, that didn't work. Your dog, every time, he's like, let's go. I don't care if it's raining, Mom, let's go. And if you're injured and you have to go half pace, dog doesn't care. He'll go half pace. He's the ultimate companion in all of this.
Absolutely. So you can do intervals. You can think of all kind of fun little exercises. You know, use your dog's breed. You can think of creative, interactive exercises that naturally, you know, go with the dog's breed and enhance that natural instinct. You know, whether it's running up and down the stairs, doing squat jumps, fetching for ads, doing these little down and dirty obstacle courses. But it's a blast. We just did a segment on Fox, the Fox News Channel nationally, and we had all these women and some men of different shapes and sizes right there with their dogs. And I have to tell you, they were all having a great time. And for some people where just exercise, you know, it's just not possible. You know, they've got this little canine treadmill. It's a little treadmill made just for dogs. You can get your dog on there. The dog we had on absolutely loved it. And the thing about that is, when your dog's done using it, you can jump on and burn a couple calories yourself.
Again, you know what I like about this is, in the past, it was always dancing with dogs, right? You either, on a Saturday when you had free time, you either chose to take your dog for his workout at flyball or freestyle or whatever, or you went for your run yourself. But unless your dog is off-leash trained and you live in an area where hiking and running is possible, and that's what you want to do every single week, it was a choice of either exercise the dog or exercise the human, you know. And so I think this is just great, because not everybody wants to dance with their dog, although I love it. And a lot of people would find it more enjoyable than you think. Even if you're kind of awkward or embarrassed to be dancing, when you're dancing with a dog, you look great. You look totally great. And everybody enjoys the whole show. So dancing with dogs is definitely a way to go too. But it just makes so much sense. I don't really run outside without a dog. I wouldn't even consider it. There's always one in the kennel that wants to go. My own 5-year-old standard poodle is like a pogo stick beside me. He gets so excited and so happy that he just jumps up and down the whole way, even if I go for 10K. Dogs love this. Now, you shouldn't. Let's give them the don'ts, because I know there's an age where you don't. They're too young, too old, right? There's some qualifications here, Dr. Carroll. So I don't want people to go out and just start running with their puppies or their big dogs that are in those growing years. You know, like, aren't there a few rules maybe we should give people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you don't want to jump off the sofa one day and take a 10-mile hike the next. Dogs, just like people, need to get in shape gradually, a little bit at a time. So before you begin any major fitness program with your pet, you want to stop in and talk to your veterinarian and make sure that your dog is able to do that. And once you get the okay, then as you've suggested, you want to be smart about how to do this with your dog. So you don't want to do this in the peak heat of the day, in the morning and the evening when it's cool. That's the best time to do it. For those of you that are interval walking, remember that dogs that are up for the walk, ready to go, are walking ahead of you. You're not dragging them behind you. So that's one little key, is when your dog starts to get a little bit slower and it looks like you're going to be walking ahead of the dog, that's your dog's way of saying, hey, this has been fun, but I'm tired. You know, remember that dogs don't sweat. They have to open their mouth and pant to lose heat. So have a little water bottle with you and a little bit extra for your pup so that you can both stay properly hydrated. And for those of you that have various arthritic issues, you know, a bad knee, bad hips, hip dysplasia, whatever it might be, don't fall into the Rimadyl Tramadol solution where you just keep eating and you don't move, because not exercising an arthritic limb increases the risk of permanent disability by 33%. So what you want to do is you want to keep walking. You just want to do it gradually and easily. And what you will find is that limb will start to loosen up and function the way that it should, as opposed to sitting there in the corner and it gets stiffer and worse and stiffer and worse. So that's,
you know,
a little bit,
I think,
opposite from what the average vet might tell you, but that, my friend, is a fact.
Well, I think the pain med situation, there's two ways to go with that. And I think sometimes it's almost like two style of people. Some people will get a sports injury or an injury in their life and they'll just sort of give up and become over-medicated couch potatoes. And Other people, and this is not necessarily better, will go the other route. They'll take so much pain meds that they don't feel it, and they'll go re-injure themselves. And yeah, I think there's a bit of a danger there with dogs too, right? If you mask the pain, that doesn't mean he's up for the 5K walk after he's been diagnosed with something.
Right, no, yeah. You don't want to mask the pain. You want to be very aware of how your pet truly feels. And, you know, being smart about that is my suggestion. So, you know, laying in the corner and putting your dog in a cage for a month is not the answer to all these knee injuries as well as the hip injuries. But again, you know, even if it's walking around the living room or if it's up and down the driveway, you know, be aware. Look at your dog and try to do things slowly and gradually. And, you know, in a case like that, you know, maybe you're in a situation where you can increase the length of the walk by 10 minutes a week. But you want to keep an eye on the dog and see that he's happy, he's not panting, he's not limping, he's not holding a leg up. All things that tell you that going further is not in the best interest, you know, of your dog at that particular time.
You know, what you said before really hit home for me. I think people have to really get used to observing. You got to see. Just look when your dog's healthy. See what his posture, his body posture, how high he holds his tail at the start of a dog play session, and see what he's like at the end. Most dogs hold their tails way higher when they still need a workout. And once they get tired, the tail starts to droop. Your dog will have these telltale signs. You'll be able to recognize when he's had enough and when he's not, because he's not going to tell you. If he's a good dog and he loves you, he considers this his duty to keep you company. So he's not going to tell you, okay, I've had enough. Most dogs won't. Some will go on strike. And if that's the case, you really need to stop, right? I want to know, like, there's an age where it's too young, right? Too young for a big workout? Too old for a big workout?
Well, I don't think big is the right word. Mm-hmm. I think that at most age levels, let's just be honest, let's just say 6 months of age and up. Okay, and as far as you know, how old, or as far as a maximum age limit, you are talking, Deborah, to the only veterinarian that I'm aware of who is a board-certified diplomat in anti-aging pet medicine. So what I can tell you, both as a veterinarian who's past 35 and as someone certified in longevity medicine, that the older we get, one of the keys to healthy longevity for people and our pets is keep lean and keep moving.
Yes.
That is an absolute fact. So you will find that, you know, if you start out with a 10-minute walk a couple times a day and you can increase that, even if it's just 10 minutes a week. You know, I have dogs in my practice right here. ChagrinFallsPetClinic.com is where you can go to find out more information. But right here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, we have dogs that are 15 to 19 plus years of age. The dogs are thriving. They are eating properly. We are keeping these dogs lean and getting them lean, and they're moving.
I see this at the commercial kennel that I run, because some of the dogs come with pills and potions and they're seeing the vet all the time and the owners are so up on it. The food is just the best, newest fad, and the additives are amazing. And sometimes I almost feel a little guilty for my pets on their diet of, you know, things I get out of my garden and eggs from my chickens and meat that my kids haven't eaten, or rice my kids haven't eaten, or whatever. And, you know, but I don't see the results. I see that a dog who has an interesting life is more likely to live longer than a dog who's bored. That's the big difference I see in longevity and health as they age. More that than anything else. If they're getting up and out and they got an interesting, active life, they're going to live longer. Do you think that's true?
The other thing you have to realize is if you get up, even if it's just a walk, you know, I mean, if you join one of these fitness classes and you really stick to it, hey, that's tremendous. But one of the biggest things that these pet owners share with me as a veterinarian is that when their dog has, for example, an hour a day to look forward to with that owner, they have a job, they go out and they work, and when they finish that hour, they're tired. And let me tell you, as you know, Deborah, a tired dog is a happy dog. It's a dog that listens, and it's a dog that's well-behaved. 99% of all those behavioral problems, chewing the sofa, urinating in the house, separation anxiety, all of those behavioral disorders, for the most part, go right out the window. Because why are the dogs misbehaving in the first place? Because
Absolutely.
They're so bored. What else is there for them to do?
Absolutely bored. Yes, a tired dog is a happy dog. You know what? I want you to guess, because I tease people between breaks, that I would ask you. Can you guess what kind of pet Taylor Swift has? She has two of them. What do you think?
Well, let's see. I'm going to guess she's got a Yorkie and a Bichon Frise.
No, she has two Scottish Folds, Meredith and Olivia. And
she says that
one of them became a very popular celebrity in 2013, and it changed her, which I think is funny. How did it change the cat? Did the cat become spoiled with fame? Did the cat have to avoid the paparazzi? I don't know. Okay. So
I imagine it can get hectic when you're a celebrity of that stature.
Somebody's asking you, what is worse? What's more likely to get infected if you're a human and you get bit by a cat, bit by a dog, or bit by a human? I don't know why they're asking this, but they want to know.
Yeah, well, the answer is a cat. The bacteria that cats carry in the gum line, Pasteurella multocida, very nasty, responsible for the bubonic plague, also referred to as the Black Plague. Many years ago, that killed thousands and thousands of people. It's the cat bite you want to watch out for. That's why they call it cat.
Wait a minute, that's in Botox. If I get my cat to bite me in the right places, will I have no wrinkles? Is that what you're telling me?
I can't say about the wrinkles, but cat bites are bad news.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if a cat bites you, what do?
See your physician.
Okay, so tetanus isn't enough, washing and polysporin kind of thing isn't enough?
Nothing to do with tetanus. It has to do with a severe infection. You can end up in the hospital on IV drugs, and I'm being 100% serious.
Okay, now what about the little nibbles? Like, I have rescue cats and kittens and things like that in my life, and they're playing with you and until you've taught them to be more gentle. They sort of nibble at you, and your hand sort of swells up the way it would if you had maybe minor, like pruning roses or something. You get a little scratch, a little red irritation. Is that something to worry about? No, right?
Well, there's a disease. It's called cat scratch fever.
That's a real
thing.
And
that can occur in a human after the scratch or bite of a cat. And as I said earlier, in some people, it might not amount to anything more than a little bit of a swelling, that recedes. But in other people, you can end up with swollen lymph nodes, with nerve damage, and in the hospital on IV drugs.
Okay.
So it can be quite serious. And although the nibbling might be fun, in general, it's not something that I recommend. Only because if you're a person with that level of sensitivity, it can be a very bad experience.
Can you be a person or child that doesn't have the sensitivity and then all of a sudden one day reacts to it? Or is it kind of a yes or no? You're okay with it or you're not okay with it?
You know, individual levels of immunity can change with age.
Right.
In general, the very young and the very old have lesser immune statuses than those of us that are just sort of in the middle of the road. But again, these things are individualized. As a veterinarian, I've been bitten and scratched by cats, you know, multiple times, but I treat myself aggressively when those situations, you know, arise. As a veterinarian, I'm not allowed to give out medical information for humans, but what I can say is wash it out immediately and call your physician so that you don't end up in the hospital.
I really worry about it with kids, too. I want to ask you also, because an email came in, a question for you while we were away, two of them. One was about, and I asked a cat expert, but the person who asked the email didn't like the answer. They wanted me to ask you as well. So they want to know why their cat digs in front of their cat dish. Even when there's no food in front of the cat dish, or when it's full or when it's not full, just sort of like a pretend digging, he says, the same as the way the cat buries its poop in the litter box, same motion. Why would it do that? Does it think its food is poop? Like he thinks, is this a comment on the food or is this something else going on?
Sounds like a bored cat to me.
Just bored. Okay. Okay, and then the other question we had over the break was about the flea controversy. And this is someone who lives in Florida and is pretty aggressive about flea medicines with their mixed household of dogs and cats. They're on, they told me all the things they're on, but it's oral and it's, and it is, they're very aggressive about it, their place, everything. They're like right into the flea control because otherwise it gets out of hand all year
round.
What's
the controversy?
They're worried. They've seen on the news, they've seen on TV that something in the new flea products is damaging, you know, the ecosystem. And they want to know, is there a natural solution? And they asked if garlic will work, but I know garlic doesn't work. So maybe we can address this.
Sure. No, garlic doesn't work. The theory behind garlic is garlic, when fed to a species like a human that sweats, imparts an odor to the perspiration that repels fleas. And that is true. But the problem is that, as I said earlier, dogs and cats don't sweat. They have poorly or underdeveloped sweat glands located in their foot pads. So when a dog or a cat is hot or overheated, they have to open their mouth and pant to lose heat. Certainly, the products that we use to control fleas are various levels of insecticides with various levels of toxicity, which is why they kill fleas. Certainly, all these things have an effect on the environment. And I don't recommend that anybody ever really use any new drug, insecticide, or flea product on their pet. I, as a veterinarian, like things to be on the market for at least 5 years before I would consider using them on my patients.
Okay, Dr. Carroll, we ran out of time. Next time I have you on, I'm going to ask you some more questions we had from our listeners, including a really interesting question about colostrum pills with dogs with bowel problems and stomach upset. So I'm going to ask you that next time. Will you come back? I know you will.
I would love to come back.
Okay, good. So everybody, if you're looking for more Dr. Carroll, what's that website again?
Our new beautiful website is chagrinfallspetclinic.com, C-H-A-G-R-I-N, fallspetclinic.com, but you can also find me under Dr. Carroll Osborne.
All right, so everybody, we're almost done with the show. If you want more of me, go to DeborahWolfOnline.com or check out the Camp Good Dogs on Facebook with their happy faces. Okay, we'll have puppy soon. I think it's only 4 weeks left till she has her babies at the end of May.
There you go.
Very exciting. All right, so until next time, from me, Deb Wolf, and Dr. Carroll, be good to your animals. From Smart Animal Talk, all positive talk.